The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hello, I'm Jo Brand, and I'd like to say a really big thank you to you all for supporting Mind this year. To the people who donated, those who fundraised, and to all the people that became involved in Mind's campaigns, you've really made a huge difference. And also, Mind has been able to reach a huge number of people with your help, from Mind's info line, which reached 40,000 people, to all the local Minds who have managed to spread their information out to 300,000, 400,000 or more. Thank you. Nobody should face a mental health problem alone. There are lots of people who just aren't getting the support that they need. And that's why Mind's here and why your support means so much. For up to 20,000 families, Christmas can be a really harrowing time because their loved one isn't with them because they're receiving treatment in hospital for a mental health problem. Please help Mind make sure these families get the help that they need. Thank you so much for all your support. Mind just wouldn't be there without it. And finally, I just want to wish you a really happy Christmas.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Therapy Suite. I'm Duncan Ellison, a therapeutic counsellor with a focus on positive mental health. This week in the headlines, there's help for emergency service workers, and statistics show the use of mental health services by new and expectant mothers was the highest amongst women under 16. It's coming up to Christmas, so how do we maintain a sense of mental balance? Find out later on in the programme. The Toolbox Talk this week is all about someone at the forefront of mental health services. Music on the way from Oasis and Hearsay, and wise words to reflect on. So if good mental health matters to you, then this is a show not to be missed. Join me, Duncan Ellison, as we open the doors to the Therapy Suite, only on UK Health Radio. Welcome along to the show. I hope you're not too stressed out as we run up to the Christmas break. I have some great things to talk about this week. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek as we look at the top 10 annoyances at Christmas time, plus the usual look at mental health trends. I have two great songs lined up for you this hour, one from Oasis and one from Hearsay. Yeah, remember them? So what's their connection? But first, mental health news making the headlines this week. The wife of a Cornish paramedic who took his own life has welcomed £80,000 worth of government money being spent to tackle suicide prevention among emergency service workers in the South West. The money is going to a local charity programme, Pete's Dragon, based in Exmouth. It's going to be used to train police officers, firefighters and paramedics to spot the signs and intervene. Del Winton started to struggle with his mental health after witnessing tragic incidents at work. Sadly, he took his own life in August 2013. His wife, Nell, said, "Del's work led to a change in him. Looking back, you can see he wasn't quite the life and soul that he had been before, and that's when he started making mistakes at work," she said. Also in the news, people with schizophrenia aren't at all dangerous, says Alice, who shared her thoughts and views on the condition recently in a BBC documentary. The 26-year-old mum of two daughters says she's fed up with how she's being portrayed. In a frank interview, she comments on the biggest stereotype cast to people with the mental illness, that they are dangerous and violent because of their condition. She comments, "People are surprised to hear I live a relatively normal life, and that's annoying. Why can't somebody with schizophrenia have a family life, a nice house, and drive a car?" Alice has been living with the condition since she was 16 and comments there are many stereotypes, but mostly people with schizophrenia are just vulnerable. The married mum of two says she is fed up of being portrayed as dangerous because of her condition. It has been revealed this month that people on the autistic spectrum are 9 times more likely to commit suicide compared to the general population. According to figures from the UK charity Autistica, those on the spectrum with a learning disability are also twice as likely to take their own life. Autistic campaigners believe the NHS needs to develop autistic-specific mental health care pathways, whilst also increasing the knowledge of autism amongst its practitioners and improving communication across different departments. Campaigners suggest people are being let down as they're forced from pillar to post due to misunderstandings within the system. Another area which campaigners would like to see addressed is the process of personal independence payment assessments. Many autistic individuals have been refused help, and this becomes more complicated for non-verbal sufferers. Campaigners suggest this can only increase the feelings of social isolation and loneliness, which is a common challenge for those on the spectrum. This leads to intense feelings of depression and anxiety, and in many cases, suicidal thoughts. One campaigner on the autistic spectrum said, "A greater overall understanding and awareness of the challenges is key to improving the lives of those on the autistic spectrum. This includes taking steps to tackle social isolation, removing barriers to appropriate mental health care and employment opportunities." Finally in the news this week, mums of all ages can struggle with their mental health, but NHS digital figures show young mums under the age of 20 are most likely to be affected. Statistics released in October 2017 showed the use of mental health services by new and expectant mothers was the highest among women under 16. The second highest age group to experience mental health struggles were those under 19, and the figure gradually decreased and levelled off as mums get older. A spokesperson for the NHS said, "It's vital we ensure young mums are aware of the support available to them, because perinatal mental health conditions are one of the leading causes of death of new mothers in the UK. Young mothers struggling with mental health conditions often hesitate to seek help due to shame, guilt, stigma, and fear of the child being removed by the social services. Therefore, education and awareness is essential." Let's take a look back and consider the stories in the news this week. As we heard, one in four emergency service workers has thought about ending their lives. Worrying data from Mind reveals the high incidence of suicidal thoughts among blue light staff and volunteers in England and Wales. An online poll has found more than one in four, 27% of people, had contemplated taking their own life due to stress and poor mental health working for the emergency services, whilst nearly two-thirds had contemplated leaving their job or the voluntary role because of stress or poor mental health. The online survey of over 1,600 staff and volunteers from the police, fire, ambulance and search and rescue services also showed that 92% of respondents had experienced stress, low mood and poor mental health at some point whilst working for the emergency services. A staggering 62% said they had experienced a mental health problem, such as depression, anxiety disorder, OCD, PTSD, bipolar disorder, or even schizophrenia, while working or volunteering in their current or previous blue light roles. Staggering figures, I'm sure you'll agree. In response to these high levels of stress, low mood and poor mental health among the emergency service workers, for the past year, Mind has been delivering a major programme of support for emergency service staff and volunteers called the Blue Light Programme. A huge 86% of respondents agreed or strongly agreed that there needs to be more emotional support made available to emergency service personnel. While a similar proportion, 87%, believe that there needs to be more investment in promoting good mental health among emergency service staff and volunteers. If you work in the emergency services or you know somebody who does and you're concerned about their mental health, you can call the Blue Light Info Line on 0300 303 5999, or you can email bluelightinfo@mind.org.uk, and you can even text 84999. So we heard in the news about Alice, who is suffering, or as I prefer to say, living with schizophrenia. She says one of the biggest stereotypes about people like me is that we're dangerous or violent. Mostly we're just vulnerable, she says. When she first started to hear voices, Alice thought she'd gained a superpower, and this is typical with people living with this condition. What concerns me, though, is that she believes people are surprised that she's able to have children, live in a house without supervision, and lead, well, a relatively normal life. In 2017, is this really what many people believe life is like with schizophrenia? Well, sadly, yes. Awareness of the condition has to improve, and thanks to Alice, we're one step further to normalising another social stigma. We also heard in the news the suggestion that those on the autistic spectrum are 9 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population. According to figures from the UK charity Autistica, those on the spectrum with a learning disability are also twice as likely to take their own life. Furthermore, research is beginning to indicate that a significant proportion of people who die by suicide in the UK overall meet the diagnostic criteria for autism. Now that's something to think about. Understanding this is key to making mental health services work for everyone. This is also why the NHS needs to develop autistic-specific mental health care pathways. We also heard the need to increase the knowledge of autism among its practitioners and improve communication across the different departments. Often, campaigners say, they're being let down as they're forced from pillar to post due to this misunderstanding within the system. And for somebody with autism, this can only increase feelings of social isolation and loneliness, which are common challenges for those on the spectrum. Isolation can easily lead to intense feelings of depression and anxiety. As a society, we need to be taking steps to tackle social isolation, removing barriers to appropriate mental health care, and of course, employment opportunities for those on the autistic spectrum. Finally, in the news this week, we heard that becoming a parent is a huge life-changing event for anybody. But young mums can be particularly vulnerable to experiencing perinatal mental health issues. A report out this week suggests the importance of supporting young mums to get help that they need so they feel more able to cope with becoming a parent, both practically and emotionally. So what should a young mother who is struggling with their mental health do before or after their baby is born? If you or anyone you know is struggling, here's what to look out for. Firstly, be aware of what they call the red flag symptoms. The 4 red flag questions to ask are as follows. Do you have new feelings and thoughts which you've never had before, which make you disturbed or anxious? Are you experiencing thoughts of suicide or harming yourself in a violent way? Are you feeling incompetent as a mother, as though you can't cope, or feeling distanced or estranged from your baby? And are these feelings persistent? Do you feel these are getting worse? If so, you must seek help if you answer yes to any of these questions. You need also to speak to a healthcare professional as soon as possible. They can then support you and signpost the relevant services in your area. But don't forget, what's on offer does differ in different parts of the UK, and that can be a challenge. You need to consider specialist support services and, of course, peer support groups. It's really important to ensure you have social support. It's essential to have good support from partners, family, and friends. If the mothers do not have good social support, then there are other services that could help. These include the family nurse partnership and specially trained family nurse visits to the mother at home. The family nurse partnership services support parents aged 24 or under, and a specifically trained family nurse visits the mother at home regularly from early pregnancy to the age of 2. Another organisation is Home Start, where volunteers support families with postnatal depression, isolation, bereavement, and many other challenges. Something else to think about. Don't feel ashamed. Perinatal mental health conditions are treatable and fully recoverable. And finally, don't ignore how you're feeling. You need to contact immediately any of the following: either your local mental health crisis team, the Samaritan's Confidential Helpline, call 116 123. Here's some more signposting information and support for you. There's Mind, the mental health charity. You can call them 0300 123 3393. There's the Pandas Foundation, the charity to support and advise any parent who is experiencing perinatal mental illness. You can call them on 0843 2898 401. There's also Mothers for Mothers, a postnatal depression support group with information and peer advice. You can call them on 0117 975 6006. Or finally, there's the NCT, the National Childbirth Trust, which has a support line as well as a wealth of online resources for new parents. You can call them on 0300 330 0700. Oasis plays on UK Health Radio. Hello, this is Duncan. Wise words on the way, music from Hearsay still to come, and in this week's Toolbox Talk, I'll be bringing you the diary of someone who's on the cutting edge of mental health support during Christmas. Now, Christmas can be a challenging time for our stress levels. So this week on the Therapy Suite, I'd like to share some top tips on how to survive Christmas. First off then, make a list of jobs you need to do, presents you need to buy, and groceries you're going to need. A list will help to organise your thoughts, prevents you from forgetting something, or even worse, someone, and it makes it easier to stick to a budget. If, like me, you don't like busy places, shopping online can save money and avoid the stress of the crowds. Christmas is certainly a time for a celebratory drink, but don't forget, this could affect the reaction of your medication. Alcohol is a depressant, and drinking excessive amounts can cause low mood, irritability, or potentially aggressive behaviour. And what about excessive food? Well, this is going to slow you down, mentally and physically. Maintaining a healthy diet and weight can improve your mood and can work towards preventing symptoms of lethargy and irritability that many of us feel during the busy festive season and dark winter months. The festive period provides us with an ideal opportunity to talk to, visit, or engage with people around us. Face-to-face communication has been shown to improve our mental and physical well-being, as this interaction produces the hormone oxytocin, which can benefit our immune system, healthy hearts, and cognitive function. Now, no one likes to travel on public transport, particularly the rail network. So to avoid the stress of delays, leaves on the line, and light flurries of snow on the rails, my advice is travel earlier. This year, Christmas falls on a Monday, so weekend services may apply across the network. There is nothing like the stress of a crowded train, and you don't need that in your life. Don't forget, there may be people you know who are nervous or hesitant to leave the house over Christmas. This could be due to the weather, nerves of travelling, or simply lack of funds. Sometimes with a mental issue, you just don't want to be social. That said, a telephone call to a relative or a friend feeling like this can be the difference of talking to someone over the holidays or not. Christmas is a good opportunity to volunteer for a charity or a local community organisation and provide essential support and encouragement for others in need. And here's an interesting one. Comparing ourselves with other people can have a big effect on how we feel. Sometimes this can be a good thing, motivating us to do better when we think we can do as well as those we admire. However, if we don't think we can be as good, it can have a negative effect on our self-esteem. Social media and consumer advertising can make this worse and lead to a treadmill of, well, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, especially at Christmas. You need to have realistic expectations about family gatherings. Expectation can place additional pressure on already strained relationships, particularly among people who don't always see eye to eye with each other and are often not used to spending so much time together. Being realistic about what you can expect from this time together will help avoid disappointment and arguments, which might then make it easier to heal those family rifts. Don't forget, you need to manage your time off. If you do have downtime this Christmas, enjoy it, as there are plenty of people still working. Whilst it's meant to be a time for seeing friends and family and switching off, many of us are experiencing stress over the festive period, whether you're in the office or at home. So be realistic about what can be achieved before you leave for Christmas. For any new requests coming in, manage clients' expectations about when you can realistically achieve their work. Make sure that you have enough time for yourself to unwind and relax. Work is important, but try not to think about it to the point of panic. If you do have to stay in contact, give yourself 20 minutes in the morning and maybe 20 minutes in the evening to catch up on emails and messages. Let's turn our attention to loneliness, which is often associated with older people. New research has revealed that millennials also struggle not only with isolation, but stress and anxiety during what is supposed to be one of the happiest times of the year. 1 in 10 people aged between 25 and 34 who took part in a recent survey by mental health charity Mind said that they have no one to spend Christmas with, compared with 1 in 20 in older people. And I find that quite sad. The research supports the findings of other charities. Sarah Murphy, head of advice and helplines at Rethink Mental Health, so people of all ages say the pressure to be more cheerful and splash out on presents can cause mental strain, exacerbating symptoms of panic attacks, depression, low moods, and cause sleeping problems, and even thoughts of self-harm and suicide. Research for Mind also shows that those with mental health problems are more likely to feel unable to cope. Pressure to have the perfect Christmas and social media posts showing others enjoying a better experience is making people feel inadequate and lonely. The mental health charity Samaritans recently urged people to stop striving for the perfect Christmas after a survey of 1,160 adults in the UK found that half hide their feelings at Christmas just to keep others happy. What about those employed in retail, medical, and the emergency services, or even the armed forces serving abroad? Whilst you may have time off, there are plenty of people who will not have that option. If you know someone or have a relative working over Christmas, all it takes is a quick text to show you are thinking about them. Let's lighten the mood a little. Staying with people who work in retail, spare a thought for them as they've been suffering Christmas since well before the start of December. Christmas deals, Christmas packaging, and Christmas music has been forced on them for many, many weeks, even months. In a YouGov survey, only 4% of people enjoy hearing Christmas music more than a month before the 25th of December. Despite that, some of our supermarkets and chain stores insist on bombarding us months before it's decent to do so. According to clinical psychologist Linda Blair, this can not only be an annoyance, it can actually damage our mental health, commenting, "A diet of carols and upbeat festive cheer can make us anxious. It makes us feel trapped with a reminder of all the preparation we have to do. And this is exactly how the retailers want us to think, the result being impulse purchases or panic buying." The Union USDAW, that's the Union of Shop, Distributive and Allied Workers, told Sky News recently, "We ask employers to be considerate to the staff who have to listen to Christmas music all day, because playing the same songs repeatedly can become very irritating and distracting." That leads nicely into this. All the festive cheer can make people grumpy. So as a bit of fun, let's have a rundown of the 10 most annoying Christmas traits. And I couldn't do this without any suitably annoying festive music, which is coming up next.
I know I've been walking around in a daze.
Before we move on, if you have a mental health story to tell, whether it's your journey or someone close to you, or you run a mental health project, do get in touch either on Twitter at Duncan_Ellison or email me, duncan@thinkduncan.com.
On Christmas Day, I woke up on a bad day and didn't want to get out of bed.
I do remember it really literally feeling like there's pressure building up on me.
I'm Michael, known as Puggy, living here in Sheffield.
I'm Judith. I'm 41. I've got two children. I think being lonely at Christmas is probably the worst time to be lonely.
There is an expectation across society that Christmas is a great time of the year. Everyone should be having fun. And I couldn't. Like, I was trying, but I just couldn't.
Time seems to slow down a little bit if you're not working over Christmas. And like that there's no particular structure and you are left with perhaps more time to think.
With the Samaritans, there was this realisation that at Christmas, if it was, you could phone them because you were having a bad time and they wouldn't judge you for that. And they'd let you express why you were having a bad time and make you realise that it was okay to be having a bad time at that time of year.
I felt it was the only way I could almost get through it. Is to be able to talk and not quash my feelings in a time of need when I didn't feel like I had someone I could talk to in the middle of the night or very late at night or early in the morning. You know, you've got that with the Samaritans that they're there all the time.
So let's take a look at the top 10 irritations over the Christmas period. We'll start with the Christmas jumper. Once upon a time, the Christmas jumper was just a winter woolly you got for Christmas. Possibly it had a snowflake pattern. Do you remember that? Then it was an iconic piece of knitwear that you wore to make people laugh at you whilst you laughed at them. But recently it started stepping out of the privacy of people's living rooms onto the streets and into our workplaces. Shops, schools, offices and factories. There's a fine line between fun and annoying. What about the rubbish telly? One of the most adhered to and time-honoured Christmas traditions is watching hours of post-lunch television that is simply too bad for the soul. At least one thing has changed. No longer do we rush out to buy the festive edition of the Radio or TV Times. Do you remember doing that? I remember my folks had to buy both the TV Times and the Radio Times, and they'd never buy it at any other time of the year. They would take a pen and mark what to watch, and this was crucial as it alerted you to any schedule clashes which needed to be managed really tactfully. Does this sound familiar? What about overeating then? This isn't a new one, though we seem to get better at it each year. It certainly doesn't help our mental health when we jump on the scales ahead of the New Year diet though. Be careful about peaking too soon. We already know Christmas is getting earlier and earlier each year. In fact, this year, over August bank holiday, I spotted Christmas biscuits in one particular supermarket. Evidence shows it's making people really, really angry. Now here's a tense one. What about re-gifting? Personally, I think this is a great idea, but you need to do it tactfully. Don't make the mistake of sending something you have received back to the person who sent it. I've seen this happen, and I'm not naming any names, but it only causes, at best, embarrassment, and at worst, anger. Christmas number ones. Need I say more? Back in the day, we had some blinders, but just like the supermarkets earlier, No one wants to hear them in September. If you do have a Now That's What I Call Christmas Hits CD, please don't put it on. Your guests might be smiling on the outside, but inside, they're planning their exit. Now, you may disagree with this one. Pet costumes. Now, I don't see an issue here. It's a bit of light-hearted fun. If your dog is dressed up as a stormtrooper, then what's not to like? Have a bit of fun, but beware it's on the top 10 list of annoyances at Christmas. What do you think? A pet is part of the family, and giving back a little joy is a good thing, surely. But beware, apparently buying pet gifts is annoying people. Moving on then, here's one that can really cause problems. Family politics. Now, this is something which shouldn't be joked about. It's a serious issue, which can cause a great deal of longer-term upset. It's a given that over Christmas, you'll meet family who, ordinarily, you wouldn't choose to spend much time with. And given that you wouldn't choose to see them often, suggests you may not have a lot in common. So if they say something which is opposed to your beliefs and thoughts, it's perhaps best to just bite your lip. According to Relate, 68% of us expect a row over Christmas, with 39% citing Christmas Day as the epicentre of family disharmony. The most common areas of discord were personality clashes and not agreeing on what to do. Two more to go then. And at number 9, beware of social media. Hashtag my worst Christmas present ever doesn't go down too well. Equally, seeing what Santa has bought everyone else is not too helpful either. 14 to 24-year-olds are most likely to be depressed and feel devalued after seeing better Christmas presents on social media. Thinking of tweeting your Christmas family dinner this year? I'll leave that thought there. Finally, at number 10, the biggie, the Boxing Day sales. Are you one of the many who get up early the day after Christmas? If you do, be prepared for the carnage, rude shoppers, and equally uninterested shop staff. They don't want to be there, they want to be at home enjoying their lunch leftovers. Last year, a record £984 million was spent on Boxing Day. But some shoppers are so obsessed, it can become a violent and disturbing experience. Last year, several of the large shopping centres throughout the UK reported stampedes. And that's not good for calm mental well-being. On this week's Toolbox Talk, I want to continue the theme of people who are changing and reshaping the therapeutic environment. We've talked about prominent theorists and we've looked at a few modalities. This week, I want to share the diary entry of someone who gave up their time last year on Christmas Day to do a shift on the telephones at the Samaritans. I'll be awake early so that I can have some breakfast before heading out to our Samaritan Centre in Ealing, West London, to join my shift partner. We'll be there for anyone who needs someone to talk to and listen to, whatever they need to say. After our shift, we'll debrief another volunteer, which is something we always do. We support callers and each other. Then we'll welcome colleagues coming into the next shift. Finally, I'll return home to see how things are going in the kitchen. Fortunately, my husband and daughter are well practiced at producing a great family meal. Christmas Day can be a very difficult time for many people, especially those living alone. From August onwards, it seems to me newspapers and TV promote happiness and joy, family parties and pictures of people having fun. As we know, this is not the case for everyone. Many don't have friends to share the celebration with or families to care about them. So the possibility of talking to someone who will listen and not criticise, someone who will be there for them and not judge them in any way during the phone call, is brilliant. My shift on Christmas Day is my contribution to our callers on an especially difficult day for them. And that's such an amazing thing to do.
Hi, I'm Rosie. I volunteered last Christmas. I've always been lucky enough to have a Christmas filled with people and good things, and I kind of, you know, in a sort of almost a cheesy way, I thought it was a time to perhaps think about people who didn't have those things, and so it felt kind of refreshing to break with tradition for myself, and to be here for our callers.
I think people call it Christmas for a variety of reasons.
People who are isolated from their family.
If they're grieving, if they've lost someone.
They're missing a loved one.
Christmas can be a lonely time for many people.
Maybe they're experiencing some financial difficulties.
And at Christmas, all this gets magnified.
Those things are undoubtedly worse for you on a day when, you know, the rest of the population is celebrating, is happy, is with their family and friends.
We want to be there at Christmas to take all those calls, to listen to all those people that need to be listened to. And we can't do that without the necessary funding.
Please could you give the incredible gift of listening this Christmas?
Please, we'd love it if you could give the gift of listening this Christmas and supporting Samaritans.
Before we close the doors to the therapy suite for another week, did you make the connection between Oasis and Hearsay? Sometimes you need to think laterally, and this week is no exception. So how do they connect? Okay, Noel Gallagher, he sang with Oasis, and Noel Sullivan sings with Hearsay. The connection is the name Noel, or Noel. Merry Christmas.
There is pressure around Christmas. There's, you know, the advertising is relentless. We are told to have the perfect Christmas.
It's quite difficult at Christmas because everyone expects you to be happy. Everyone expects you to be kind of the life of the party.
Whenever Christmas time comes around, I do start to feel a bit anxious and kind of depressed about the season. I've never really had a good Christmas.
My brother, actually, my younger brother, Simon, committed suicide 10 years ago.
After we had our Christmas meal, my mum would go in her room, I would go in my room, and it would basically be just like me spending Christmas by myself.
What comes out for me at Christmas time is the fact that when he was a young child, when we were growing up, he loved Christmas.
I think it always gets difficult around Christmas time for most of us, whether you suffer with mental health issues or not.
It's quite difficult because it's really weird because you shut yourself off from people.
A few years ago, things were really, really bad at work for me, and I ended up needing 9 months off, and I was extremely anxious and very depressed.
It was almost like there was a barrier between myself and this idea that I'm supposed to be happy.
My mum passed away in January, and we would always spend Christmas together. So it was always me and her doing whatever we'd end up doing. So this Christmas, it will be a bit difficult.
I think if you're struggling, the best advice, but also the most difficult to accept, is to be selfish. Being selfish, because you have to be, it doesn't make you a bad person to prioritise yourself. It just means that actually you are loving yourself.
The thing that massively helped me and the thing that turned my life around was talking. Because I'm a bit of a typical man and I'll happily talk about the football and, you know, the light stuff, the light and fluffy stuff. I previously wouldn't talk about what was going on, and it was only when Simon died and I was offered counselling and I had counselling that I realised that I needed to talk about stuff, and if you talk about stuff it lightens the load for you.
Wise words this week are courtesy of Bob Hope. He goes on to say, "My idea of Christmas, whether old-fashioned or modern, is very simple. Loving others. Come to think of it, why do we have to wait until Christmas?" Don't forget, if you have any mental health concerns or have been affected by anything raised in today's programme, please consult your GP or find a counselling service to talk to. You've been listening to The Therapy Suite with me, Duncan Ellison, only on UK Health Radio. Stay well, keep smiling, and have a good Christmas.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. So this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. Kitchen.